The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You're in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. All that accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Arnie's here. How you doing, Ansel? What's going on, big boy?
Good. We're a hurting bunch today. Is everybody all right? You can hardly move. I can't move, as always. And you, Brady, what's your deal?
I've hurt my neck in the worst I've ever heard it. Now, yesterday I thought I had a pinched nerve, and then that kind of got dispelled. And I was like, okay, great. Things will be fine. So I iced it last night, and I used a shiatsu machine and all that kind of stuff.
Easy. Hit the dump button.
Yeah. It's like a massager.
Oh.
So use that. Felt good. Then woke up today and could not move from side to side.
Of course.
It was horrible.
I could tell that was going to happen.
Well, that's a nice product.
You got a jacuzzi.
Where am I going to get a jacuzzi?
You live in an apartment. You don't have one in the apartment?
No.
Just do what
I'm not Josh does. Rosen.
There's one in our club, I think.
Do what you do. Take 8 showers every day.
Yeah, go get in the sauna and stuff. Heat.
Yeah.
The Edge has one.
You need ice and heat, so I need both. I need to go buy like a rice bag.
If you wait till tomorrow, I'll become a chiropractor from some Matchbox cover.
Just step on you.
So that was awful. I had to drive to Plattsburgh today and spend 3 hours over there because I was an idiot when I did my car inspection and I had to get one other thing done that I didn't get done before. And since I have a New York car still from when I lived here.
Okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't have gotten it done then.
No, I had to. I'm not going to get into it on the air, but
okay,
I needed to.
Okay, if you had to, because I wouldn't have
gone. The insurance company was telling me I needed something else done.
It must have been a lovely day on the ferry.
Yeah, jeez, so, how about that?
It was nice and blizzardy, rain going sideways, right. So that was awesome.
Free car wash.
Yeah, nice and blustery.
Yeah.
So that was fun. And then I came back here, and yeah, my neck still can't move. However, we're very lucky here because I don't know if you guys know this, but one of our new sales guys, Steve, he used to be an athletic trainer and like work as an orthopedist.
Yes.
So he's been taking care of me. He gave me a stim machine that I've got at my desk now.
Brady will be out tomorrow.
A stim machine.
STIM?
Yeah, like muscle stimulation. Have you never seen any kind of treatment devices?
No.
So that's why you walk like you do now.
My body's a temple.
I walk like I do.
So
because I tried to be a runner.
Yes, and exactly. You didn't properly take care of yourself.
I didn't use my stims.
Yes. So I
is this your excuse why you don't play basketball now?
I didn't play basketball yesterday. If I can move tomorrow, I'm going to play.
Oh wow! So
I don't know if I'll be
How bad could it be? Oh, I'll play tomorrow. When I had that, I couldn't play for like 3 months. So I don't know how bad it could be. Jeez.
Yeah, I don't know. What are you talking, Arnie? You are so irritating to me.
Well, is that his job?
You are so irritating to me. This is the word on the street.
Yes, that, the word on the street.
That some young punks came and played yesterday, the kind of young punks that I don't like, and they got under your skin and a guy threw a ball at you.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I was playing ball yesterday. With a couple of douchey guys yesterday.
Hit the dump button.
There was a guy that doesn't like me. You know who I'm talking about? The guy who thinks
that's
he's...
everybody
that,
in the gym but me.
I was going to say, that really narrows it down.
You know the guy who thinks he's muscle-bound, but he's not muscle-bound? And the guy who thinks he's good, but he's not good?
You talking about the guy with the goatee?
No, but he was like one of the guys, yes. You know, pretty boy. Yeah, that guy.
Pretty boy.
And his buddy, who's like a big lughead. And I don't want to say names, but there was this...
You kind of narrow it down.
Well, there's this guy, Owen.
A lughead with a goatee and no muscles.
Owen's like 6'5", and he's guarding me.
Oh.
And a couple of times I pump fake, and he bit and landed on top of me. A good 3-4 times.
Pump fake.
Yeah, and he like came flying. I mean, he was charging at me. And so I said, okay, if we're going to play like that, let's get it on. So every time somebody came in for a layup, I just smacked him in the arm.
You just grabbed their arm.
No, I didn't grab. Did a little smacking. Did a little smacking there.
It's because you're a dirty player.
No. I said, hey, they go, you're going to smack everybody who comes by? I go, well, how come you're saying that now? You didn't say anything about Owen jumping on my back like 4 times because he was on your team.
It's just unbelievable to me that you survive every single week in the basketball
Nobody's going to take out the senior citizen.
Wow.
There is some sympathy.
Nobody threw a basketball at me.
No, I heard someone threw a basketball at you, like the play where they get caught in the corner and they throw it off the guy's legs.
Oh, yes, they did that.
Yeah, but I heard he like threw it at you.
No, he threw it off my legs.
Yeah, but I heard he threw it hard with intent and malice.
Yes. Oh, probably that too.
Did you call a technical on it?
Tried to break my leg, probably.
But other than that, it was no malice.
Otherwise, it was no big deal about that. Yeah, but I mean, they get the two guys that hate me.
It's not bad.
Yeah, they play like they get the other teams. They get the guys on their team to hate me also.
The others just haven't met you.
Yeah,
yet.
No, they hate me also, and then they play so hard that they're like. And Owen's a nice guy, but he was being a knucklehead yesterday. Just jumping on top of my back and everything. I don't know what was going on.
That's like one of the first times that we played. You annoyed the hell out of me, and I decided to just get up in your grill and not allow you to even dribble.
That's true. You did do that. I mean, would I annoy you if I said Robinson Cano?
Yes, you would, as a matter of fact.
But that's breaking news, though, isn't it, Rich?
What a great deal. Yes. He gets an 80-game suspension. He's already going to miss like 30 anyway.
He's already going to miss like 50. So.
All right. So that kind of worked out nicely.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't work out nicely at all.
I didn't know his whole career now is just a farce.
No, only when he was a Yankee.
I don't know what to make of this whole thing, to be perfectly honest. So Robinson Cano suspended 80 games. He did not take steroids. Well, at least that's what we're hearing now. He was not suspended for a PED. That is true.
Right, but I read that thing where it says Major League Baseball does have the goods on him. That's why he dropped
furosemide. The appeal.
Well, he was suspended for a diuretic, which is for one of two things. It could be used for a actual health condition, blood pressure, kidneys, anything.
Or masking.
Or it could be used as a masking agent for a PED.
Yes.
Mark Feinstein, who's a notable reporter, says he was told that Cano took tests prior to and after and came back clean. So there was a thought that it stemmed from high blood pressure. But regardless, look, if he's a cheater, then he's a cheater, and I dislike that. And if he's not a cheater, then he's incredibly uninformed on the way things are done because you're taking medicine without consulting the team, and the team would have told you this was banned.
I don't think they could do this, but they've done this on the injured reserve list. Like, if you want to go ahead and put somebody on the injured reserve list when an injury happened but you didn't do it right away, you can be retroactive.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be great if they said, you know what, don't drop the appeal? I mean, if you really think you're innocent, don't drop the appeal. I know the reason why he's not dropping it, but he's going to be gone 30 games, so he's saying, what the hell, I might as well do it now.
Perfect.
But don't drop the appeal. If you lose the appeal, we'll back it up to today.
If you win the appeal.
No. If you lose the appeal, we're not going to start it in 3 weeks from now. We'll back it up to where you're injured, and we'll count the 30 days. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Okay, well, that would be a winning of the appeal.
No, because I don't want him to drop the appeal simply because he's getting a free 30 days. If he really feels he's innocent, but he's found guilty, he's like, no, you're still guilty. You're going to miss the 80 days or the 80 games or whatever. Back it up to this day.
Okay.
So at least we'll give him a chance because he's not fighting it because he's missing 30 days. I don't want him not to fight it just because he's missing 30 days is my point. That if he feels he's innocent, that's my point.
I don't know what to make of this whole thing.
First thing that hit me is he a Hall of Famer now? Is he going to get in?
Stop.
Why should I stop? What's wrong with that
question? Because it's an irritating debate. It's like,
not to me, it isn't.
I just find it uninteresting.
That makes one of us.
Is he a Hall of Famer? I don't know. David Ortiz is a Hall of Famer, first ballot, and he was found with, you know, we've heard about positive tests for him. But
well, then I guess the answer is yes.
But Clemens will never get in, and Bonds will never get in.
Well, it's always the way they react to things. Is Cano going to go in front of a microphone in 3 years and pull an Andy Pettit and make everyone happy?
Do you know what you just did? You just, like, ratted out the little brother when somebody said, did you break something? Well, little Johnny breaks it, too. When he brought that up, you immediately went to Ortiz. Oh, my goodness.
I'm saying it's not a justification of it. It's just saying that David Ortiz is going to get – I don't know how these things go. We'll find out in 10 years when he retires and he's eligible if he gets in or not.
Couple of things I want to get to before we get started. I think I want to do our newest contest. I never get to pick the contest. I never get to say what the contests are. I never get to know what the
whatever you're going to say, don't say
it. You've had many suggestions, though.
I think on July 13th I should pick a co-host since you two guys will be gone and figure out who should do the show with me.
Boy, that's looking ahead.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. How much fun with that? Brady, I did have one thing I wanted to read. Somebody got mad at us or got mad at me.
Well, no way.
Yeah, no, and sent a tweet or whatever. Put this on our Facebook page. This Kyrie, I think he meant to say Kyrie, resentful argument was stupid. Second only to Arnie, that they have to trade Haywood comments. Brutal, guys. I had to turn the show off once Arnie got going and never went back to it. Out of all the things I've said over the last 2 years, trading Haywood wouldn't make my top 1,000.
What does it seem like?
By the way, why would that push him over the edge? That's what out of everything we've said, why would trading Haywood push him over the edge. I don't understand that.
Especially with all the speculating we do on the show.
Jeez.
I think it was the idea that Kyrie's unhappy about his team's success. I think that was probably what he was more geared toward. But we didn't even say that. That was Chris Broussard of Fox Sports Radio.
Or
we Steven, were just reacting
no, or,
to
yeah,
it.
Yeah. But you know what the funny part is? Let's say Kyrie's happy. Everybody going to be happy next year? If you didn't get rid of anybody and everybody came back and you re-signed everybody and everybody got their money, somebody ain't getting their shots. Somebody ain't getting their playing time. Somebody ain't going to be happy. Somebody's not going to be happy.
And I think it was a fair discussion because yeah. I think Kyrie's a unique situation where he is one of the few guys in that league that I would say actually yeah. cares about that sort of yeah. thing. He came over here to be the hero. He came over to be the star. He came over to put up 25 shots a night. Yeah. And it's being taken. Once it was taken away from him, the team's had enormous success.
I think the quote was, it's not his team anymore. He wants it to be his team. So we'll see what happens.
Brady, well, it doesn't matter. Now we can't piss him off anymore because he's not listening.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Okay. But he wrote something else on the Facebook page. Brady, what's coming up tonight? What's coming up this week? And what's coming up on the show?
In your life.
Yes, well, exactly.
Remember, trivia tonight, Burger Bar in Colchester. Arnie, you're hosting 7:30 to 9:30.
Yes.
Half-price appetizers, discounted beers,
and
great.
Celtic game at 8:30, so we're ready for that.
Celtic game coming up at 8:30, so you get that going. Also, the Red Sox are on the TV as well, so lots of good stuff over at the Burger Bar in Colchester. Tomorrow, we're live at the Windjammer
yes,
as far as our 101.3 ESPN
yes.
Craft Beer Tour, so you can come and see us from 4 until 6:30. We'll be there until the Red Sox game tomorrow. And how about this, guys? We have moved into the total 21st century.
Yeah.
Arnie, you won't understand what I'm saying.
No,
but our,
I won't. I was looking at this. I don't even understand what you wrote.
I'm 50-50.
Yes.
Our really smart listeners, which is all of them except Arnie,
yes.
are going to know what this means. So if you guys have that Amazon Echo, you know smart speakers are becoming one of the biggest ways to listen to the radio. A lot of people don't, unfortunately, have a radio in their house anymore. But a lot of people have a smart speaker. They have that Amazon Echo. They have the Echo Dot. So if you have one of those, all you need to say, if you want to listen to us in your house, if you say, Alexa, enable 101.3 ESPN, this is what happens.
Here is Burlington and Plattsburgh's 101.3 ESPN.
Exactly. Remember, trivia
so
tonight.
So I like that. I like that.
There's us on about a 10-second delay.
Oh, I was going to say. That's unbelievable.
So if you have, and then what is also cool, if you enable us, so the first time you're ever going to listen on your smart speaker, you say, Alexa, enable 101.3 ESPN. Every time from that point on, all you have to say is open 101.3 ESPN. So the first time you listen to us,
technology,
say enable 101.3 ESPN and then just open 101.3 ESPN. And if you don't have a radio in the house, that's how you can listen to us wherever you
Rich go. And I used to have to listen to little transistors with a little red bar. So I can't get it in. It's at 7:08 a.m. I can't find it.
And I had to hide it under my pillow and pretend when my mother would walk in at night that I was sleeping.
Goodness.
And not listening to the Red Sox.
Yes. Of course not. No, wouldn't be doing that.
Jeez.
It is. Is unreal.
That's
I mean, you could ask that thing absolutely anything. Huh? How'd you like to be named Alexa right now?
Well, 74%.
Yeah, it went down, remember?
The name dropped.
Oh, that's right. I think Emma won again for most popular name this year for girls.
I thought it was Arnie.
Yeah, it should have been.
Arnold.
Mistake of the day, 101.3 ESPN, trying to get that baseball cap thanks to Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms at Colchester, where they help small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. As for what's coming up today, Tom Caron at 4:35, some notes on Dustin Pedroia's rehab, some more talk on the sports gambling legalization, and the Seinfeld power ranking.
I saw that.
I have got my top five because today is the 20-year anniversary of the final episode of Seinfeld.
All right.
The
20-year
anniversary. But now, Arnie, we've got to go to break, and then when we come back, we can talk about the Celtics.
All right, we got a lot to get to the Celtics. Plus, did you see the LeBron workout this morning? Did you guys see that?
I saw he was the only one there.
Oh, my goodness. He worked out for a full-fledged hour-and-a-half workout 9.5 hours before the game. I'll tell you about that. It was on TV. So we'll get to the Celtics. We'll get to the game. We'll get to LeBron. All that's coming up next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3.
The local sports talk show. Nothing else comes close. Come to think of it, there isn't anything else. The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Remember now, game two tonight. Yeah. Cavaliers in Boston taking on the Celtics, 8 o'clock with the pregame, AM 960, right there on the zone. Obviously, a half hour pregame show, and then they'll tip it off at 8:30. Oh man, you know, as much as I said, this series is still OVER. Celtics still have to win tonight, though. Yes. They still have to go
so
ahead.
In other words, you're not really as sure as you were yesterday.
Yeah, I was feeling good yesterday.
Yeah, you were.
I was feeling bravado.
Yeah, whenever you spell out the point of your comment.
I must have been like at the 4th of July barbecue having a few margaritas. That's you're feeling real good. But
D-O-N-E, dun. R-E-L-A-X.
Yes,
relax.
Exactly. So I'm feeling good about tonight. What do you think, Brady?
Really?
What's going on?
I think the Celtics, man, I think the key to this game stems from the three-point line. We can talk all about LeBron all we want. I think LeBron will create whatever opportunities Cleveland has. But if the Celtics can continue to defend the three-point line well, and they've done it all postseason. Now, Milwaukee wasn't a very good three-point shooting team, but they defended Philadelphia well from the three-point line. And they had Cleveland 4-for-26 the other day. That's in part because of what the Celtics did. If they can continue to limit Kyle Korver, limit Kevin Love, and limit J.R. Smith from three, it's okay if LeBron tries to take over, because if they're hitting more twos than they are outside shots, then the Celtics are still set up well.
If LeBron goes off for 45, 12, and 12 tonight, that doesn't necessarily mean his team wins.
No,
and that sounds ridiculous, but it just means that LeBron put up a lot of shots. I agree. I think Korver and J.R. Smith and the usual cast characters are going to be very important. This is going to be a shootout. It always is. I think Cleveland was 29th in defense or something. They give up a ton of points. But the key is going to be, can the Celtics get inside like they did the other night? They scored 60 points in the paint.
60-38 they won in the paint. It's going to be very interesting if Tyronn Lue goes with Tristan Thompson in the starting lineup. Now, he has played well against Al Horford historically. He played well against Al Horford in Game 1. But for a Cavs team now that likes to play very, very perimeter-oriented, Tristan Thompson totally changes that. I'm interested to see what effect that would have.
I'm like, hey, you won game one, stick with what got you there. I'm not so sure I'm going to stick with the same game plan. If I'm Brad Stevens, and obviously he knows a hell of a lot better than I do, but I don't think you're going to hold LeBron to 15 points.
No.
So you're going to have to come up with another game plan like, all right, maybe he's going to get his. Don't double-team him. And as you said, Brady, hold everybody else in check. And then you maybe still have a good chance to win. When you said 45, 12, and 12, the 12 assists is what bothers me.
Yeah,
then
I agree.
That means everybody else is
somebody
getting involved. Score. If it's 45, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, then you know everybody else is not getting involved. LeBron was at the arena 9.5 hours before the game, working out, full-fledged workout, hour and a half, shooting, working on moves. He's hissed off about something. Something got in his grill. I've never seen a guy. Can you imagine? It's like Mike Tyson working out before his fight or something like that. Can you imagine working out an hour and a half to 2 hours before maybe the biggest game of the year? I don't. That is crazy.
And this is a guy who played, 36 minutes a game, all 82 games this year. Didn't miss a single game. So I don't know. He's focused like he's never been focused. But I mean, you listen to him after the game the other night. He doesn't sound the least bit, because he says, I couldn't care less that we're down 0-1. So he's coming out with some. He's coming out with some hellfire tonight.
Here's what bothers me. Should you not work out and maybe be able to play 48 minutes? Is it unrealistic? I mean, James Harden comes off the bench yesterday with 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter with the game on the line. I'm like, you can't put in the extra 3 minutes?
Right.
You're in the Western Conference Finals. You guys can't put in 48 minutes with all the timeouts, end of the first, halftime, which is like 3 hours long? I mean, my goodness, get out there for crying out loud.
The last 5 times that LeBron's lost a game 1 of an Eastern Conference playoff series, he's gone on to win game 2 of that series.
5.
He also is averaging, I think, 41 points.
Wow.
This season, he's averaging 41 points, I think, after game 1 losses in a more recent time frame. But he's been unbelievable. He's averaged only 22 points a game in all 3 game 1s. Oh, this is the stat. LeBron has averaged 22 points a game in the 3 game 1s this postseason, averages 36 points per game in all other games. So when he says game 1 is a feeling out process, it has been that though thus far.
It just shows you that the teams going into game 1, their goal is to just shut him down. Then LeBron makes the adjustment, and boom, next thing you know, he's averaging 36 a game or something.
Yeah, but is that really a good strategy over a career to have game 1 of every playoff series be a
feeling out process?
You're down 1 game to none in every best of 7 series.
Well, they swept the Raptors last series.
Right. I understand it's gone well for them, but in a series like this, when they're up against a pretty damn good team here, I'm not sure getting down 1-0 and not really caring is not a big deal.
I'm interested, too. We talked yesterday about how the Celtics were able to get LeBron playing back to the basket a lot, especially on the perimeter. Well, and that was really effective because, number one, it gets the other players standing around and allows the Celtics to really set up. But also, if LeBron is going to back you down and eat up the shot clock, there's a couple of things that can happen. He takes a forced contested jumper falling away, which he's hit a lot this postseason, but they're not high percentage shots. Or the team can do lots of things. They can double him late in the shot clock and start to get some hecticness at the end of the shot clock. I like that what the Celtics did. If they can get him playing back to the basket more often than not, then that is a good recipe.
Speak up now or forever hold your peace. Tom Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672. A prediction on the game, X Factor, watch out for who, LeBron gets how many, watch out for who on the Celtics, Tatum goes off or Jaylen Brown goes off, Horford goes off again, you tell me, give me the scenario, maybe it's a buzzer beater. And by the way, is this one going to be a lot closer game than we expected, or is it going to be another 20-point blowout? Or I mean, we don't expect that, but I don't see a buzzer beater in the cards here.
I think this game's within six. I do.
Oh, wow. I agree.
I don't have who's winning yet on my mind. I just think I know all the keys to the game. How the Celtics defend the three-point line, what the Celtics can do in transition, how the Cavs implement Tristan Thompson into the offense. Even if he can stop Al Horford defensively, what does he add to the offense, and how does he impact the other four players on the floor? I think those are the keys to the game, and those will dictate then what the outcome is.
The other key to me is if LeBron can get Marcus Morris in some early foul trouble, because he's going to be coming in there, like I said, like his hair is on fire, and he's going to be backing down Morris. He's going to be going after him big time. That is going to be an absolute battle between those two. You get two fouls on Morris in the first quarter, and that's going to change a lot for LeBron.
Maybe you start somebody else on him. On LeBron, instead of using up the fouls, because you know that you want to see how the officials are going to call it. You don't need to pick up any cheap fouls. Throw somebody else out there to pick up the cheap fouls, or if he does or doesn't, see how the first three, four minutes just to get the feeling out process.
So, in other words, start Baines, you think?
Well, not even maybe
instead
just,
of Morris,
maybe just switch up on him. I don't know. You just maybe switch up on him after the first couple times down. Just don't go ahead and, you know, I always see guys, Coach K used to do this. After a guy used to pick up his first foul, immediately took him out because he's like, I know you're going to pick up the second. I know it's going to happen. So, you know, but sometimes you want to think about that, what the officiators are called.
Derek Middlebury says, someone on the Celtics will score 30-plus points. That's what they need tonight. And I don't know if it's 30-plus, but they did get three players getting 20-plus.
Yeah, and I was going to say they don't need that.
And in a number of their games this year that in the playoffs, they've had multiple pieces step up, whereas we are focusing on what the Celtics do against LeBron, and that is the root of everything for what Boston's going to do. That is not the case for Cleveland. If you can limit Jaylen Brown to 10, then maybe Jason Tatum, Marcus Morris, and Terry Rozier are all 20-plus. I do think they're going to need a similar effort where you're getting three big performances, though. I think you're going to need three guys probably in that 20-point range again. Spread out the wealth.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Rozier come back strong offensively. I can see an 8 for 12 from the field kind of a performance from him. He was the one guy who didn't really do much offensively the other night. Maybe the Cavs will slack off a little bit on him, but if they do, they'll pay for it.
I like this Frank and Crown pointer. If the game is called correctly, the refs, then the Celtics will win.
Wow.
Is it not
That's all
be,
it takes?
Yeah, is it not going to be called correctly? Is there a problem?
I think they're saying that the league would like to see LeBron in the finals or at least have a competitive Eastern Conference finals, so maybe he's calling for a little bit of conspiracy.
That's why I said, don't put Morris on LeBron because, I mean, it starts with the early foul or the early two fouls on the other team's defensive stopper or, you know, the big star or something. Next, you know, Morris has got two fouls 5 minutes into the game and you're like, geez, LeBron's got 30 points at halftime and they're up by 10.
Well, Brian in Richmond brings up, I think it says Semi Ojeleye, I think is what he's trying to say there, will be a key in defense. That's a guy who's mostly in there only for defense. You talk about a guy who might come in, I don't think they're going to start him, but I mean, if you're going to waste a couple of fouls to try to slow LeBron down early, he might be a logical candidate.
I think Celtic fans are nervous about this because they took the first game and they feel like LeBron's coming back and going to hand them some punishment or something like that.
No, I agree. Yeah. I think he's in for a huge
Towns Fair Tire, text line 802-655-6672, Brady.
And then don't forget tonight also the NBA draft lottery is tonight. And this is something that is a very kind of precarious situation for Celtic fans because the last couple of years you've had the Nets picks in hand. You've watched the draft lottery thinking, okay, are we going to be 1, 2, 3? Well, today you're watching it, I think, kind of with a close eye, but it's not something you're fixated on. The Celtics have a 3% chance of getting a top 5 pick. Right. And because of the way things are laid out, it's very complicated. The Celtics could only end up with the second or the third pick. So they have a 3% chance of getting the second or the third
pick. So what are they looking for? The Lakers to finish with the second?
Second to last, yeah. They want the Lakers to have the number two pick.
The two or three.
That would
two
be
or
the three.
Two or three.
Well,
pick,
two would be ultimately perfect.
Right. But it's
and,
like
and what's the deal? If they don't get it, which I'm sure they won't, there's a 97% chance they won't. Yeah. They get Sacramento's pick next year, I think is what it is. And that has got to be a juicy pick because that team is forever.
But
awful.
It will not be number one. I think it's number one protected.
Wow.
So
and they still got Jason Tatum from Philadelphia.
Yeah, so it's very, very convoluted. But as far as tonight goes, this feels wrong to say, but I hope the Celtics don't end up with the second or third pick because we're already trying to figure out how people are going to fit together next year as it is. Do we really need to throw in a number two or three pick in the draft to try to complicate the waters even more? And under Arnie's philosophy, somebody's gone, if not this offseason, but next offseason, then we could have a chance to re-implement a high draft pick into the situation.
Or you got to trade a guy under an existing contract that may have some value because you want to play the – oh, to Gordon Hayward, did you say that? Oh, wait, I don't want to get that guy mad at me.
No, but you know, you have a point. It would almost be better to get a high draft pick from Sacramento next year and because you've got all these – you know, these contracts are going to slowly start to expire, but you're also – there's just too much money involved and too many bodies to move around.
But if I'm correct, if they get the two pick then, the 3% chance
– yeah.
They get the center of a lifetime, DeAndre Ayton, the kid from Arizona,
exactly what they need.
The 7-footer who's got game and $100,000 in the bank.
Oh, well, yeah. You think he does because he's an Arizona guy.
I mean, but he's pretty damn good though.
That's so not is Fab Mello at Syracuse.
Right, by the way, you get a guy. Let's just say you get a guy like that. Another, I mean, again, he's going to make the team. He's going to make his money. Somebody can't be around.
I'd still rather have Bagley from Duke. I think Bagley is an absolute stud.
Can you imagine another 20-year-old kid coming to the Celtics? What are they going to do with them all?
I'm looking forward to the draft lottery tonight and see how that ends up. But it's interesting to see because I was going to do this later on. Little Penny's going to make an appearance at the draft lottery. Did you see that? That is funny. The Magic are bringing that as a good luck charm for the draft lottery tonight. So I
well, they were so hideous, they deserve a high pick.
Dan in South Burlington, if the C's end up with that two pick, doesn't this pave the way for a Kawhi Leonard trade? It paves the way possibly for something. It opens up the doors for something. Now, I don't know how many more moves are on the table other than maybe Kawhi Leonard, but it does pave the way for something.
All right. If you get Kawhi Leonard, then you can't have Gordon Hayward. I mean, you can't have that much money.
That would be four max contracts.
Yeah, it's impossible. It's not gonna work. No, somebody with the max got to go. Right. And it's not Kyrie, and it's not going to be Kawhi.
So let's go back to something we talked about a week ago. Hayward, and this was just thrown out as a rumor. And remember that? It was tweeted out on some fake news thing, and it was Leonard and that pick, whatever it may be, for Kawhi Leonard.
You know, everything just being even. Do you think Gordon Hayward, if they said, you know, Gordon, we can get you to another team, and you could start over. You haven't played a game. I think he would say, you know what? I'd be open to listening to what you've got to offer to me. I don't know if I really fit in here. You got Kyrie. You've got a team that made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. You may get Kawhi Leonard. You've got draft picks. You got youngsters coming in. I'm not so sure if I want to, you know, do that.
The one that worries me is Kyrie. I'm just not sure. He's got a situation that's going to rear its ugly head every single year, I think. I mean, do you really believe his knee problems are just magically going to go away? At least with Hayward, he had a horrible thing happen. Broken bone, snapped, the whole deal. He's coming back. He's rehabbing. It's not likely to happen again. But with Kyrie, that injury is just going to hound him, isn't it?
I'm here for all the drama. Let's get Kyrie back in the fold. Let's get Hayward back in the fold. Let's get Rozier griping about his minutes. Let's bring Isaiah back this offseason.
There you go.
For $100.
Let's do everything.
You know, can you imagine? I mean, Brady, you were the one that wanted to give Isaiah the max deal.
No. I wanted a 3-year, $100 million deal.
That guy doesn't get a 3-month contract now over here with the Celtics. What are you kidding me? That guy couldn't get a 10-day contract. That's how much he has fallen.
There it is. First mistake of the day already in. We didn't have any yesterday, and he's right. I said Leonard for Leonard. I meant Hayward for Leonard and a pick. Hayward and a pick for Leonard. Brian and Richmond, you're our winner so far.
He is a qualifier. I'll tell you what, we'll come back. We got to get ready for Tom Caron, our Red Sox and Bruin insider from Nesson, see what he's got to say about our Red Sox. Plus, should we ask him about Robinson Cano? Is that going to be the thing? All that's coming up next. You're in the huddle.
Golic and Wingo when you drive in, and the huddle when you drive home.
And you can always be part of the show by calling or texting at 802-655-6672. This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. A busy Tuesday, my friend. I'm not working Friday, by the way. I'm taking the day off.
What?
I'm not working Friday. I'm taking the day off, going down to Connecticut for my niece's bat mitzvah.
So, now, what's a bat mitzvah?
I think it's the opposite of a bar mitzvah. So
okay,
there you
so
go.
What happens? They do all the opposite things?
Let me just sum it up by this. She goes up, she reads some Hebrew stuff, and then everybody gives her a bunch of money. That's the way it works.
Wow.
There you go.
I'm the wrong religion.
Would you like one? Would you like a bar mitzvah?
I never got a penny because of my religion.
That's the way it works. Yeah.
Wow.
You turn 13, you pretend like you're reading something, and then everybody gives you these envelopes with money in it.
Wow.
Like, oh, isn't that great? How fantastic.
Because I wasn't Jewish. I had to actually go out and have a paper route at 13 and earn money. Damn, my mom and dad messed that up.
And I'm going to, like, of course, they're already wealthy as hell, so I'm going to Weston, Connecticut.
Oh.
Yeah, have you ever been down to Weston? You heard of Weston, Connecticut?
Western or Weston?
Weston, Connecticut.
I do not know that town.
Oh, well, of course not. You've never been through there. They don't let your type in there.
I have spent the entire summer in Weston. Oh, Weston, okay, yeah.
So, that, I am taking Friday off.
Hey, is the play-by-play announcer of the Boston Red Sox
yes,
on the phone?
Oh, yes, he is. Let's go to the TikTok and Jewelers guest sign. Joining us now, it's our Red Sox and Bruin insider from this, and it's Tom Caron. How you doing, TC?
Told you I had a face for radio.
Yeah. We should have done the game in French also. One inning in French, but they don't do
Toronto,
French.
Toronto. It's not Montreal.
I know.
I could have given the score. The only thing in French I could have done.
I know a little bit, but I couldn't do anything like that.
How great was that, man? How many? You called a couple of games or what?
Yeah, it was fun. Did a couple of games up in Toronto with the legend, Joe Castiglione, 36 years in the booth, and just a lot of fun, change of pace. Really enjoyed it.
So how does it feel to live the dream of 50,000 human beings?
What? There weren't that many people at the game. This was Toronto.
I'm talking about what you did last week.
Oh, that.
Yes.
Yeah. That's good. I mean, baseball, it's funny. Baseball is the only sport where I still think it's kind of made for radio, and I got to watch what I say because I had a TV every night. but that really is the dream. When you're a kid, when you're my age, when you're a kid, you think about baseball games on radio as you were growing up, running around and riding your bike, and it was pretty awesome. I'd done a bunch of spring training games on radio, and obviously I've done some TV here as well, but it was kind of neat to do it differently like that.
No shout-out to the guys? No shout-out to the Huddle or anything like that?
Dude, there are like 47 stations that carry the Red Sox games. I start doing personalized readings, I'm in trouble. Right?
TC, well, I listened to you my whole way back to Albany for Mother's Day, so thanks for keeping me company.
Well, now, see, I would have given you a shout-out if I knew you were actually in the car.
I was.
Brady gets a shout-out, not the other two guys. How about that?
Yeah, Brady and those other guys. Brady Show.
I tweeted him, so.
Oh, funny.
I did see that. The funny thing is the way they do it, like, Joe does a couple of things, and I do a couple of things back and forth. I got all the good stuff. Like, everything happened while I was doing the game. I felt bad for Joe. Like, you doing a bunch of ground balls to short, I had home runs and plays at the plate, and so it was pretty cool. It was fun.
TC, let's go to something else that's been pretty great. And how about JD Martinez? He homered again yesterday, although it was kind of a soft homer. I thought Kana could have caught that ball pretty easily. But how good has JD Martinez been?
Well, he's on pace to hit over 40 homers and drive in 130-something runs. And somehow he's done it quietly, hasn't he? It's like I'm not saying that he hasn't made his noise, but it's not like we're sitting here every night talking about, oh, my God, JD Martinez. And I guess we should be because he's really just heating up here over the last 10, 14 games. And this guy is showing you that there aren't many guys right now who are great power hitters and just great overall hitters. And he got two of them in this lineup with J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts. And it's a pretty good 1-2 punch right now. They're making everybody else in this lineup better.
TC, every time I ask you this, or we ask you this on our on our radio hits every Tuesday, his average has gone down another 10 to 15 points. What in the world's the end game here for Jackie Bradley Jr.?
I don't know. Not in the lineup again tonight. And Alex Cora just saying that, I talked to Alex up in Toronto, and he said, he's got 3 days off. We're going to see him come back, and he got a hit on Sunday. But Alex basically saying, we're not really seeing what we need to see. So he's going to keep working on it so that when he does come back, he's going to be able to help us. So the implication being that, as he is right now, he can't really help us, so he's not in the lineup.
Tom Karen, Red Sox insider at Nesson, with us on the Huddle, 101.3 ESPN. Look, he's not the only one at the bottom of the order that's been bad. It's been a whole slew of guys down there. Rafael Devers has been hitting eighth, you know, lately. Is that because he is struggling also, or is that because you're trying to break up all the struggling guys?
Yeah, it's a good question. And Alex Cora does sort of put a different lineup together than a lot of guys does. He doesn't really get caught up in the left-right, left-right. He'll line up five righties in a row, doesn't care. You know, sometimes you do like, I mean, he's only 21, so sometimes you like to leave him a little bit lower in the order so that you're not putting too much pressure on him. So maybe that's why. I think where it really gets interesting is where you're going to put everybody when Pedroia gets back. Is Pedroia going to be hitting second again, and now where are you putting Benintendi? You have all your lefties on the bottom, or is Pedroia going to have to take a spot lower in that lineup? And I'm not sure how that'll go over. So that'll be worth watching here in the next week or so.
What's the next big thing the Red Sox should do? I mean, do you just keep it going, wait to see how the Yankees are doing? If you fall too behind, do you get another pitcher? What's the next big thing
should do? I mean, today's news, you know the news today about Carson Smith, right?
Yep.
That
yes.
changes things. Ugh. Carson Smith, I mean, Dave Dombrowski just told us this has the potential to be a significant injury. So that, I mean, he was starting to take over that seventh, eighth inning role along with Joe Kelly. And I think now for the first time, you're going to have to really consider adding to the bullpen. I thought the bullpen was okay. Maybe Tyler Thornburg is enough, although he did not look good last night. And he was supposed to pitch tonight, and now he's not going to pitch tonight. They're going to push him back a couple of days, which is never a good sign. So they may need to bolster that bullpen a little bit here if they want to compete, because I think you saw that last weekend in New York, even with Carson Smith. The Yankees had a better bullpen, and that was the biggest difference in that series. And now without Carson Smith, you just took a step back. So that's one place that I think you're going to have to keep a close eye on here in the coming weeks.
TC, you mentioned Dustin Pedroia. He played yesterday at Pawtucket, went 1-for-3. What did you hear after the game from him?
Well, from him, I love somebody asked him to summarize his night. He said, three barrels.
Yeah.
And I barreled everything up. I mean, you know, he grounded out, hit a little flare in the opposite field. So that's good. When he's talking like that, he's feeling pretty good about himself. And I think it's pretty clear that he's feeling good about himself. Good news is there was a ground ball out. We were watching the game. We had a camera down there sending it back live, and we were watching it. And there was a ground ball out that he really busted down the line to try to beat out. He said after that he felt no ill effects. The knee didn't make any warning signs, and there was nothing as he tried to sprint up that line that made him feel he was anything less than 100%. And I thought that's really important. Now, how he is today, getting back to work the day after a game like that, is going to be the next step. Is he sore the day after? Is there anything that he feels today that is a warning sign? If not, then I think this is going to be a fast track. I think he'll be here, you know, very possibly by Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, the way that guy hustles, I mean, you see what he does when he runs out of, you know, hard one hopper back to the pitcher. It's like his hair's on fire on every single at bat. So, with Nunez, I was begging them to re-sign him. I thought he was a great acquisition late in the season. Just makes me realize that Pedroia really needs to get back because it's not happening for Nunez. Why is that?
Well, first of all, he's not a second baseman. He feels more comfortable over at third base or maybe even shortstop, more comfortable. But he's really, I think, a third baseman. That's where he's most comfortable. And it's funny because he seems to have a little trouble on the glove side. Devers has trouble on the throwing side. And so they're two different issues, but they result in some sloppy play. You just forget how good Pedroia is defensively. You know, the guy tracks down everything. He knocks down everything. He's got great range, incredible reads right off the bat, so he's getting there in time. That's easy to take for granted when you see a guy who doesn't, you know, have anywhere near that elite skill level. So you need to anchor down that right side of the infield. You need Pedroia back in there. And yeah, you're right. Nunez, you know, it's a game of overexposure. You know, you see a guy every day, you start to see those warts in his game a little more closely. Nunez is meant to be a super utility player who plays a lot, but plays different positions, gives guys rest, gives you a spark off the bench, gives you a pinch hit at bat once in a while. Instead, he's been your everyday second baseman. That's not who he's supposed to be.
TC, I'm rattled by the feeling today of how do I feel about Robinson Cano now as a Mariner. As a Mariners fan, how do I root for a guy who's been, you know, found guilty of cheating? Well, Red Sox fans wrestling with the same kind of conundrum, but on a more serious level. How do Red Sox fans, how are they supposed to feel and root for Steven Wright?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question, and I know Stephen Wright pretty well. I've talked to him a lot about this before, during, and after. You know, he and his wife have publicly stated there was no physical altercation. He disrupted a 911 call, and you know, is essentially violence and destruction. I mean, he kicked the door in. So, you know, it's not good, but I think he, you know, believes that he has made a mistake and learned from it. His wife is alongside him saying they will try to get through this journey and use it to maybe shed some light on these issues. And, you know, he is going through some programs to try to help him through that. He wants to help the Players Association educate others. So, you know, the tough part is that you never want to cheer for somebody who does anything like that, any sort of domestic violence situation. You know, it's never been okay. But you know, if you made a mistake, didn't hurt anybody, and are trying to learn from it and be a better person, and maybe use that to help others, then maybe we give the guy the chance to do that and judge him on what happens going forward. So that's where I'm going to be. As for Cano, he used to be a Yankee. No, I'm kidding. Cano, you know, again, same thing. I mean, you don't like the cheaters. You don't like the guys who take performance-enhancing drugs. But again, now, you know, it used to be that there was no penalty. This guy's going to pay a serious penalty. I mean, 80 games is not joking around. And, you know, I think, you know, Melky Cabrera, other guys have come back from this and reform themselves and still been good major league ball players. So when he comes back, you know, you boo him, and that's what fans will do. But he's paid his price at that point. It's a hefty one. So see who he is when he comes out of it. You know, think of Ryan Braun rehabilitated himself and is a part of that Milwaukee world when he comes back. And it'll always be a tarnish on his legacy. But it doesn't mean he doesn't get the right to try to come back and rehabilitate himself. That's what the whole system is built on.
It's been raining all day up here. Are they playing tonight?
Well, they're going to try. It hasn't even started here yet.
Oh, wow.
So that's, which I don't think is great news. You know what I mean? That means it's coming later. And they've got severe warnings, tornado watches set up west of here. Nothing around here, but in Worcester and beyond. Pretty bad weather. But it is supposed to sort of come through fairly quickly. So, you know, Oakland doesn't come back, so I think we're going to settle in and try to get this one in.
And don't feel afraid to give us a shout-out. Something like, oh, boy, he pitched terrible, like we know our buddy Brady from...
Wow.
Last week.
That was a swing and a miss, like most of Hardy's
kicks. Wow. Thanks, TC. Have a great week, buddy. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. All right, thanks a lot. Tom Karen, of course, our Red Sox and Bruin insider. Oh, stop it.
Between Robinson Cano and...
Oh, no, don't you know.
He couldn't pitch.
Yes. All right, we got to get the Gone But Not Forgotten. That's coming up next as we wrap up hour number one in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's Tuesday, which means it's time for Gone But Not Forgotten. Brought to you by Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington.
All right, thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington. They've been with us from the very start of the show. A family's love is forever real. So contact them 24/7 at Elmwood Meunier. They have affordable options not only for your pets. They have sports burials. They have everything you need. They're available 24/7. Give them a call. All right, I couldn't find any good death anniversaries today, guys. There was nothing really interesting. I'm just going to go back one day. Lois Lane. Margot Kidder passing away at the age of 69. You know, I don't know the whole story about her, and she used to be a big actress right after this role. Later on in life, they found her like discombobulated. She didn't have clear thoughts. She was homeless. Very tough later on in life, passed away at 69, but certainly Lois Lane, you'll certainly remember Margot Kidder on that.
How about Garo Yeprimian, the man responsible for the most ridiculous play in Super Bowl history, died on this day in 2015 at the age of 70.
I didn't know he was dead. I loved Garo Yeprimian.
I didn't either. Remember that play against the Redskins?
The Redskins, where he threw it up in the air, got picked off, and it was the only the Dolphins won 14-7 or 17-7.
Yeah, it was a hugely important play.
The only 7 points the Redskins got was Garo Yeprimian picking up a fumble, trying to throw it, the ball going straight up in the air, picked off And run back for a touchdown.
And this guy's like completely bald, and he's about 5'5", and he's the kicker, and these guys are bearing down on him. Some guy named Bass. I don't know why. He ran it in for the touchdown.
He was the kicker that had like the one bar.
Yeah, there was a lot of them back then. But he died on this day in 2015 at the age of 70.
My gone but not forgotten, Robinson Cano's Hall of Fame chances with a question mark.
Wow.
And Brady Farkas' happiness.
Wow. I'll say that.
That's it?
Gone but not forgotten.
So, like, overall, you're going to go in a funk for the rest of the week?
As far as today goes, because I don't know. I got a Cano jersey I don't know if I can wear anymore.
Wow.
I got
a Cano. I handed you a free towel.
I don't need a towel. I need a new jersey. So, but at least I can gamble on sports, and we can bet on how many tears I'll cry tonight.
What's the over-under?
The over-under is about, I don't know, number of tears. We'll go time spent crying, over-under 14 minutes.
Yes, and the thing that makes this tough is the fact that your team was doing really well.
Yeah, well, he was on the DL anyways, so it's I'm used to guys being out for a while. That stinks, but I really just feel bad for the kids. I do. I feel bad for some 10-year-old kid who loves baseball because of Robinson Cano. That's the guy that I feel bad for.
By the way, Google Garo your premium. Guaranteed.
I can't
that's
even
the first
spell
thing.
That.
It was the funniest
play. Just the way it sounds.
It was the funniest play I've ever seen, except for maybe the butt fumble.
Elmwood Meunier, funeral and cremation.
Most overrated play in sports history.
This was better than the butt fumble. What are you kidding me? Check him out. Elmwood Meunier Cremation Center in Burlington, open 24/7. Been with us from the start of the show. Hour one in the books. Brady's going to come back with the Sports Center update. We'll get you ready for hour two. Coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Rich, Arnie, and Brady are back, and they're already starting to argue. The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN, hour two of the show. Lots going on, to get to. Obviously, the Celtic game is tonight. You can listen at 8 o'clock with the pregame. And, of course, the tip-off 8:30, Rich, is that what it's going to be?
If the pregame's at 8, that's a good chance, yep.
I know we're going to get to the Celtics here. Lane Johnson, is he popping off again? Oh, my goodness, he's not going to shut the hell up? I mean, you win one Super Bowl, and he's just going to keep popping off. He had more things to say about the Patriots. Brady, this kind of came down
a little while ago, not long ago. He was
not
on
long
the,
ago at all, like 10 minutes ago.
He was on the Stone Cold podcast. Oh, you know, the old wrestler, Stone Cold.
I love when they take things from podcasts because you know it's going to be good because they don't think they're on the radio or anything like
well,
that.
Well, and they can swear.
Yes.
Let's see. The Patriots, obviously, I respect their coach. I respect Belichick. I respect Tom Brady. But just because they won Super Bowls the Patriot way, is that supposed to be how everybody else is supposed to do the same thing? No, it's not. And that's what I got mad at, the arrogance of them.
Oh, the arrogance.
There was obviously some stuff behind closed doors. Their owner talking junk to our owner.
S.
Junk.
Bill talking junk.
S.
To our head coach before the game.
Doug
I'm not
Peterson.
Going to say it, but a lot of junk. Built up to that, and I just got tired of hearing about it, man, to be honest. I saw a defense that wasn't overly talented.
Wow.
It was all really about containing Tom Brady. We had a hard time doing that. He had 500 yards, but that's really it, man. Going into the game, I'm not going to be shell-shocked by it. That was kind of our thing going in. I think we had the upper hand.
Wow.
Well, hey, you know what? I, much as I want to deny that, I mean, the scoreboard does speak.
Why not? Well, obviously he's on the podcast. What does he feel like you had to, you know, double up on what he said the first time around?
He was asked about it.
Well, come on. He was being a little jerky. I didn't know all that stuff about our owner was talking blank to his owner and our coach talking.
But what was wrong with that? I mean, he claims the Patriots defense wasn't that great.
What's wrong with it, in quotes, is if Belichick was really talking bad to Doug Peterson before the game.
Which I don't buy, yeah.
And if Robert Kraft was really talking bad to...
Kraft, I could see.
Because I thought a lot of the stuff he said about the actual game and the two teams seemed kind of right. I mean, Brady had a huge game.
Why don't you
move
on?
The defense wasn't very good.
Why don't you shut your mouth and move on? You won the Super Bowl.
And he won.
Aren't you supposed to enjoy it instead of taking shots? You know, it's so funny. They won, and they're taking shots at the Patriots. Yesterday, Jacksonville lost, and he can't get it. What the wide receiver, whoever it was,
Marquise Lee,
couldn't get over.
Right,
lose it to the Patriots.
It's all about the Pats.
Win or lose, you're mad at the Patriots. Doesn't even make it. You beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. You're still mad.
Who would have thunk it?
It's unbelievable.
Somebody else said that recently too. Isn't the Super Bowl supposed to be about winning the Super Bowl rather than who you beat.
Yes.
You know what, though? Yeah, you think that, but I'm just going to throw it back on the Patriots in this way, too. This is how everybody does it. Now, I know we're in May right now, but and I would say once training camp starts, then you stop basking in the glow of winning your Super Bowl. But right now, I guess I don't have a problem with it. I had a problem with it when the Patriots wore shirts mocking the Seahawks for throwing at the one. Yeah. I had problem with the Patriots parade when Julian Edelman's talking junk about Richard Sherman. No Patriot fan was upset about that.
And he already talked after the Super Bowl, in case you don't remember, he said that the Patriots are a fear-based organization with players who act like blanking robots. So, you know, he's not been very, you know, kind to the Patriot organization, all the way from the owners all the way down.
It's too bad he didn't say that right before the Super Bowl. Yes. The outcome would have been different.
Remember, though, he does have some teammates who were former Patriots.
Yeah.
So you do get a firsthand perspective from a guy like LeGarrette Blount, who's been there on two different incarnations.
Yeah. Jim in Essex just got out of work. Did I already miss Brady committing Harry Carey over Robbie's suspension?
Wow.
No, he's still here. No, he's still.
He's here. He's just not. I mean.
Who else is going to push the buttons?
Physically, I'm here. Mentally, other planets. That's where I'm at.
I love that.
Well, luckily, you only have to worry about 20 minutes on the Champlain Valley game.
We're going to spend all 20 talking about Cano. Not just kidding.
It's
all Cano all the time.
By the way, does that mean it only happens very little now that we only catch one person every so often? Or we just.
Well, I think less people are doing it. I do think they're better at not getting caught. I think that I think those things are all at play. And remember, Robinson Cano did not test positive for a PED.
Right.
Now, it doesn't mean he's not a cheater. I'm not defending him. I'm just saying he didn't test positive for steroids. He got caught using a diuretic. And a diuretic can be used for one of two things. It could be used for legitimate medical purposes, which he says it was for high blood pressure. Whether that's true or not, I have no idea. But it also could be used as a masking agent for other steroids.
I read this before the show to Rich. I said an automatic getting caught with this is not an automatic suspension. It's just when baseball feels like you're duping them.
When baseball thinks that you're using a diuretic for doping, that's when they nail you.
Exactly.
So, again, he didn't test positive for the PED, but it doesn't mean he's innocent. But he's guilty of one of two things. He's either guilty of being a cheater and trying to cover it up, or he's guilty of taken medicine that he did have prescribed to him by a doctor in his homeland in the Dominican Republic. He's guilty of taking medicine and not sharing that information with the team because the team would tell you what's legal and not. So
exactly.
You're either a cheater or a dope.
Or
one of the two.
Yeah, get a new doctor. We have pretty good doctors here in the United States. I'd look into that next time.
So does this mean that there's going to be a whole line of questioning in trivia tonight regarding Robinson Cano?
The questions were probably made a lot more recently than 4 hours ago.
I don't know. She's pretty flexible about that. I've seen her change the questions.
Do you think – I want to know how Yankee fans feel about Cano right now. Are Yankee fans looking at this like, ha, 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 you left, this is what you get? Or do Yankee fans look at it like, well, whatever. We've taken a bunch of steroid users. It's okay that they're out there. Or do they look at it and say, man, I liked Cano. I'm disappointed.
Yankee fans are probably the only ones really even thinking of that. And I'll be honest with you, I just wanted to talk about it because I wanted to bust your chops. I don't even really think the average fan is even caring. Like, we just expect it, right? I mean, or am I wrong about that? Like, is it, here's another guy we caught. Let's move on. I mean, gave me 5 seconds. It was only because Brady's a Mariner fan. Are we making a big deal?
Right. Yeah. Well, probably
if it was
Cano,
somebody
though,
else.
Yeah, but Cano is a big deal. I mean, this is a superstar we're talking about. This isn't, you know, some minor leaguer who's made a big mistake. Plus the fact that Cano came right out and said, look, this is what I did. It was not a PED. This is what it was. And he's taking the first steps necessary to win the court of public opinion.
He's a former Yankee. He's a World Series champion. He was played alongside Derek Jeter, and he was a future Hall of Famer. That's why it's a big deal. That's why it's a bigger deal than your average relief pitcher in Kansas City. But I think you are right that the average fan outside of Seattle probably doesn't care that much.
By the way, I don't know all the injuries to Wright for the Mets on third, you know, for the Mets, but I would be behind him taking steroids or whatever just to get back into baseball. That's somebody, you know, when you're hurt that bad, do whatever you got to take. You know, if you need that help or need that boost, or I mean, this guy's been hurt for how long? You got to do something. You're going to let this guy's career go on the wayside, or do you want to try some, you know, new medication on some of these guys? I'd be willing to do that. But anyway, Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672, 802-655-6672. Game 2 tonight. You tell me, are the Cavaliers coming out like, oh boy, like you wouldn't believe because after what happened in game one, they were embarrassed, or they're just like cool, calm, and collected, and they're ready for a fight. I think it's going to be under 10, though I don't necessarily think it's going to come down to a buzzer beater, and I think LeBron is going to go off for 40-plus. That's no earth-shattering news, which means I may have to change my defensive philosophy and worry about everybody else out there before I worry about LeBron.
Well, the question isn't whether LeBron's going to have a huge night tonight. The question is anybody going to pick up the slack? Are you going to get LeBron with 40 and then Kevin Love with 30, like last, you know, like one of the games in the Toronto series that they rolled in? Is the defense going to be better? Is Tristan Thompson going to help keep people out of the paint after they got torched for 60 points down low in game one? I mean, there's a million questions, but I think the idea of LeBron going off tonight is very, very likely. I mean, you saw him after game one. He wasn't the least bit concerned. He was ready to go.
He just showed that way.
LeBron really struggled on shots in the 11 to 20-foot range. He struggled behind the arc the other day. It's no secret, I think, that defending the three-point line continues to be one of the biggest emphasis that the Celtics have in this playoffs, no matter who they're playing, and it continues again tonight. The Cavaliers are dependent on three-point shooting. LeBron needs to hit a few. J.R. Smith needs to hit a few. Kyle Korver needs to hit a few. Kevin Love needs to hit a few. And if they hit 12 threes in this game, well, then they're positioned to potentially win. If they hit six threes, it's iffy, and if they hit three or four in game one, then they're going to lose.
Do you want to get in a track meet with the Celtics? I say no. The young legs, I don't think that's a good idea at all. A transition points are always on the side of Boston.
Yeah, but you have so many days off after this game. What's today?
You get 3 full days off until the next game
Saturday.
That's
like a vacation.
I understand that, and I mean, LeBron is just bulletproof right now. The guy hasn't had a day off, and he was out there practicing and running up and down the court earlier today on game day.
That's amazing.
But you they're going to score their points, although they only got 83 the other night, which was incredible.
Jeez.
But you can't imagine that the turnovers, LeBron's not going to commit 7 turnovers and they're not just going to get killed in the paint. I'm sure things are going to be different tonight.
If I'm the Celtics, I absolutely want to get this game up and down. I want to get this game into a track meet, especially if Tristan Thompson is going to play a lot more than he did in game one. And if he's going to start in game one, that plays into, I can use that to my advantage. Where Tristan Thompson could be an impact in this game is it the Celtics are bringing the ball up and they're playing in the half court and Cleveland's got a chance to get in their base defense and there's Tristan Thompson guarding Al Horford one-on-one.
Instead of Kevin Love.
Yeah, or altering shots in the lane. Yeah. If this team gets out in transition and the Celtics are playing with four and a half perimeter players when you include Horford in that mix and Tristan Thompson at 7 foot and Burley is lumbering down the court, the Celtics can absolutely run this team out of the gym in my estimation.
By the way, who should be shooting the ball the most? For the Celtics, or does it really make a difference, right?
It's shooter by committee.
It really is.
Kyrie.
I mean, because I don't know. I mean, Morris, I think, I always thought 12 was a little bit too much for him. I didn't think that he should be like in the top three shooters on the Celtics.
I've always said that about Smart, but that's about what he's shooting, taking about 12 shots.
I have no problem Horford or Tatum taking as many shots as they want.
Well, Tatum's been gun-shy all year. It took him about 3 months before he started actually getting into double figures in shots taken.
Well, he was so efficient, too, early in the season. He was still scoring double figures. Yep. Horford, Rozier, Brown, Tatum. I think three of those four need to be in the 20-point range. They don't all need to be 29, but they need to be at least hovering around 20. And then the Celtics need to limit the three-point line. And if you're the Cavs, and if you are going to go with Tristan Thompson playing a lot in this game, then I think the Cavs need to try to back the game out, slow it down. That's where you let LeBron try to dissect things, get to the hole, kick out to open shooters, what he hopes will be open shooters. And then Thompson, he is bigger than Al Horford. If he can put together a semblance of an offensive game where he can score in the paint, then that can create some opportunities too.
By the way, I think I'm wrong on that.
What?
You're wrong? I think I'm going to change my mind real quick. When I say Morris shouldn't shoot as much, but if you have him shooting 10 to 12 times a game, doesn't that force LeBron to play a little bit of defense instead of him just running rampant up and down the court, just doing whatever what the hell he wants and going for 45 points and not even having to play any defense whatsoever? Yeah. I mean, no, maybe you got to make him play a little bit of defense, don't you?
Yeah, I just think this all comes down to cleaning things up in the paint. I mean, it's so obvious what the difference was. It was the Cleveland turnovers, for sure. There was a lot of differences, and Boston was by far the dominant team, but they've got to clean up in the paint. The Cavaliers' defense does, because that was a mess. And I think you talk about Tristan Thompson trying to get some offense going. He's not a guy that's going to give you 20 points. He'll give you 10 rebounds. They don't want points from him. They want people to stop Horford and stop Tatum and so forth from getting inside and hitting the easy shots.
Brady, give us some of the Town Fair Tire text line. I know they're coming in on Cano, on the game tonight. And another one just came. I know Brian says LeBron has 35 tonight. They lose by 4 instead of 20 because the Celtics stop the threes and they play the AAU run and gun or something like that. So,
well, Glenn in Moncton says, Brady, you conveniently leave out the fact that Richard Sherman was prematurely celebrating when you went up by 2 scores and was gloating up until Wilson threw the interception. That's me saying that the Patriots were taunting the Seahawks after the Super Bowl. He's right. No, he's right about that. And it's one thing then if you want to throw back the shade at Richard Sherman, but to have LeGarrette Blount wear a shirt that says B-I-T-C-H
yes,
mode
yes.
about instead of beast mode about Marshawn Lynch, he didn't do anything. So, no, you're not going to – you can miss me with that take.
What about the first-time texter above that one?
Yankee fan here. No surprise to me that Cano was doing something.
Oh.
Seemed obvious to me going back to his New York days. Number one, I don't think so. And number two, if that's the case, do you want to give back the 09 title that him and A-Rod helped,
they helped
put together?
Yeah, he wasn't saying anything back then.
Yeah.
And our buddy Mike chimes in with saying ex-Yankee Robinson Cano is like saying ex-Mariner Alex Rodriguez.
All right, and Patrick wrote like a two boxer, so what does that say?
He says, I'm a Yankee fan. I think it's a big deal. It's disappointing, and I hope he didn't use it much. It makes me wonder if A-Rod introduced Melky and Cano to it early in their careers.
Is that a fair question? I think that's a fair question.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a fair question for how long he's been doing it. And the reason why we don't say that Alex Rodriguez is former Mariner is because he said he only did it from Texas
on.
He never did it in Seattle.
Well, I mean, that's what he says.
Well, if he's going to come clean about everything, if he's going to come clean about Texas, why didn't he come clean?
I noticed there's a lot of people that only come with half-truths and half queens. They still don't want to just put everything on the table. I mean, just everything. Yeah. I even heard Charles Barkley today. He was asked some questions by Dan Patrick. He didn't want to tell the truth. He talked about gambling. And Dan Patrick goes, do you have a bet on tonight's game? And he goes, well, you didn't want to say, but he's like, yeah, not really. It's not really. You're pregnant or you're not pregnant?
For a guy who's very rarely ever editing his thoughts on the fly, that surprises me.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I guess we have to take his word for it, but I'm not so sure with it. But I think that's a fair question, though, Brady.
No, I think it's a fair question also.
Yeah, I totally agree with that one. I mean, you never know.
Did you see Justin Verlander throwing shade at Cano? Did you see the Astros pitching staff?
No.
So right after it came out, Justin Verlander of the Astros puts up a tweet and he says, excuses coming in 3-2-1.
Wow.
That's very uncool.
And then Lance McCullers, who's a pitcher on the Astros, he goes, so do I get all those earned runs back or what?
Oh, wow.
So, and I just think it's funny as we talk about people throwing shade when they shouldn't be. They dug up – Twitter's great because Mr. Old Takes Exposed.
I love that. Yeah.
We'll go through and find all this stuff. It was none other than Justin Verlander tweeting after his teammate in Detroit, Johnny Peralta, got busted, saying, everyone makes mistakes. We're here for our brother, and we will support him through this. So Justin Verlander's one to talk.
And the first-time texter, I'm sure he's using just like A-Rod and Ortiz. They had to throw Ortiz in there, didn't they?
Big Poppy never did anything.
No, I'm sure that.
No, those numbers are all legit.
Yeah. How did he get away with it all?
He just got really big when he left Minnesota. What can I say? He hit the weight room.
He hit the snack bar.
Yes, he did.
That's for sure. Did you see the amount of jewelry on him during the broadcast last night? He was at Fenway.
Yeah, he's there tonight, I think, too.
Unbelievable.
I don't know who's bigger, and you wouldn't know him, Rick Russell or CC Sabathia. Rick Russell was like the biggest guy I've ever seen play baseball.
I mean, Jamarcus Russell.
No, he made Jamarcus Russell look anorexic. I promise you that. He was about the biggest guy I've ever seen.
Did
man.
You just call it anorexic?
Anorexic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, come on now. I can speak semi-English. All right, Brady, what do you got coming up next? What is this now?
Today is the 20th year anniversary of the final episode of Seinfeld.
Wow.
So while I will not have the LeBron Jordan debate with you, I will have the Seinfeld Top 5, and I'm going to reveal it next.
Next, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Arnie injured himself playing basketball. Again. How is it that he never sprains his mouth? This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. Let's go!
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN on this rainy Tuesday.
It's not raining anymore.
Oh, it's not raining anymore? Is that a mistake of the day?
I'll tell you, the whole world's going to turn green tomorrow. It's supposed to be nice out.
Although thundering and lightning at Fenway, so we'll have to keep you updated if anything happens there.
And we had TC on last hour, and he said there was tornado watches not that far from the park, although Worcester is a little ways.
Hail warnings right now.
Great. Let's play in hail.
I can't even read the Town Fair Tire text line now. Shane in Burlington. You know, I always wanted to pretend I was an architect.
That's a Seinfeld line.
Jim in Essex. The contest has to be the number one episode, hands down, no pun intended.
I agree.
And they're just, I mean, they're just coming in, and so many Seinfeld references, I don't know what is what, but 802-655-6672, Brady.
Well, yes, today is the 20th year anniversary of the final episode of Seinfeld. A lot of people don't like the finale. I actually found it okay.
I did not.
I liked it.
I did not.
I liked it. I'll be honest with you. I did. I'm okay with it. I don't know that I love it, but yeah. I like it enough to not call it the worst finale in television history.
I didn't like The Sopranos either, but go ahead.
That was the worst finale. I was furious for days after The Sopranos finale.
You actually watched that?
How dare. It was one of the shows I invested in. The Sopranos, every week we'd get together for years, and they'd pulled that stunt off at the end.
You had HBO?
I have been. No, I'd go to a friend's house.
Oh, okay.
It was like every week. I'd go over to the friend's house and we'd watch The Sopranos, and I felt so cheated.
I did too.
At the end. Yeah. I mean, as if I don't hate Don't Stop Believing by Journey enough because I have to hear it five times a day on the radio. That now reminds me of that last episode.
I've never seen one episode.
Oh,
see,
wow.
Now, we're just the opposite because with Seinfeld, I might as well just shut my microphone off because this. I watched it all the time and sat there every Thursday night and just didn't get it.
By the way, Jake in Williston, Festivus is my number one, and it's not even close.
Yeah, that was
one is called The Strike.
The Strike. All right, well, go ahead. Let's go through the list. What's going on?
I've got three honorable mentions that are in no particular order.
All right.
Number one is The Soup Nazi, which is a lot of people's number one. I'm calling that one. It's an honorable mention
for me.
Yeah,
but are there like several episodes with the soup? Or is it like when they first introduced the soup?
When they first introduced the soup Nazi.
That's fantastic. Yep. The whole soup Nazi.
No soup for you.
That's just genius. I love that.
So that's honorable mention. Shane in Burlington's line of, you knew I always wanted to pretend I was an architect. That stems from the marine biologist, where George pretends to be a marine biologist.
Oh, does he?
And Kramer's hitting golf balls into the Atlantic Ocean, and George pulls a golf ball out of the
I did see that episode.
Out of the whale's blowhole.
Yes.
That one's an honorable mention for me. And also the limo, where George pretends to be... George and Jerry pretend to be O'Brien and Murphy so that they can get a limo back from the airport, and O'Brien and Murphy turns out to be neo-Nazis, leaders of the Aryan Union.
Oh, no, I didn't see that one. Oh.
So those are my honorable mentions.
Mine, absolutely. What was it? You say it was the contest, the Master of His Domain episode. That was absolutely friggin' hilarious.
So that's number one to you?
Oh, it's the only one that I ever just busted a gut laughing.
I am working backwards here, starting at number five. Number five for me is The Implant, where Jerry dates Terry Hatcher.
They're spectacular.
Yeah, who was on Desperate Housewives.
Yes.
So, where were we?
I was just leaving.
Right, you were leaving.
I can't believe you sent a woman into the sauna to do that.
That was an accident.
I think you're both mentally ill.
Oh.
And by the way, they're real, and they're spectacular.
So that's number five for me, The Implant. Also, some great scenes with Kramer and the health club make that one great as well. So that's number five for me. Number four is the Kenny Rogers Roasters episode.
Oh, yes. I've seen this.
So Kramer, yes. A Kenny Rogers Roasters opens up across the street from Kramer's apartment, and it's got a giant red chicken, and Kramer is just going crazy from this giant red chicken that's beaming into his apartment. So he goes over to Jerry's apartment and tries to make cereal, and Jerry goes, "What are you doing?"
That's tomato juice. That looked like milk to me. Jerry, my rods and cones are all screwed up.
So, and then Kramer and Jerry switch apartments, and Jerry goes crazy from the Red Menace, they call it. So that's number four. Number three for me is the outing, which is the one where Jerry and George, Elaine makes up a joke that Jerry and George are gay, and the woman sitting behind them at the restaurant is a reporter that's about to interview Jerry.
Oh, wow.
And she writes a story about how Jerry is gay, and this is how that goes.
I said all that was on purpose. We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, of course not.
I mean, it's fine if that's who you are.
Absolutely.
I mean, I have many gay friends.
My father's gay.
Hold up. And now everyone at NYU thinks I'm gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all. No, everyone's going to think we're gay.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, not at all.
So, one of the most iconic lines in the show's history. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
You haven't got the Zach and Bristol's favorite one. It may come up, Zach and Bristol. You can't double dip. That's like sticking your whole mouth in the dip. So.
That, oh man, that one is.
That's when George becomes instant boyfriend material because he's at the funeral.
Yeah, they go for the death certificate. Yes. That one was close for me also, but it was also would have been an honorable mention. Number two is the opposite, where George decides that everything that he's done in life is wrong, and he decides to switch everything up.
Every decision I've ever made in my entire life has been wrong. My life is the complete opposite of everything I want it to be. Every instinct I have in every aspect of life, be it something to wear, something to eat, it's all been wrong.
Everyone. Tuna on toast, coleslaw, cup of coffee.
Yeah. No, wait a minute. I always have tuna on toast. Nothing's ever worked out for me with tuna on toast. I want the complete opposite of tuna on toast. Chicken salad on rye. Untoasted with a side of potato salad and a cup of tea.
So that's where George does the opposite of every instinct and ends up getting a job with the Yankees. And there's the famous line where he says, the New York Yankees, Ruth, Maris, Mantle, Costanza. And then my number one, it's not number one on anyone else's list, but it is number one on mine. George and the calzone, where he ends up eating lunch with Mr. Steinbrenner every day, and he gets him a calzone, and this is how it starts.
What is that you're eating over there? That looks pretty tasty.
It's a calzone, sir.
Calzone, huh? Yeah, let's hear it. Pass that on down. Let's get a little look at that. Big Stein wants a little taste. Come on. Pass it down there. That's a good boy. Okay, hey, what's in this thing?
Cheese, pepperoni, eggplant.
Eggplant, huh? That's a hell of a thing. All right, back to business. Here you go. Very good. Excellent little calzone you got there, Costanza. Okay, I'm a little jealous. All right, here we go. Like I told you last week, the renovation of the press box is taking too long. All right. Boy, you know, that eggplant was very good. Everybody out. I got eggplant on my mind. Costanza, go get me a couple of calzones right now. Prado, move it out. Big Stein wants an eggplant calzone. He must have one.
So he starts eating with him every day.
Is that Larry David that played
Steinbrenner?
Like, yeah, it is. It's Larry David. By the way, you're getting a lot on the Top Fair Tire text line. Who gets picked off in softball? It's unheard of.
Who gets picked off in softball, I believe, is where they're playing Rochelle, the musical, and George runs over Bette Midler. If I'm not mistaken, that's that one.
And Chris the Met fan, very disappointed at you.
What did he say?
All he said was, I'm Keith Hernandez. Come on now. Keith Hernandez, he gets asked about that all the time.
The best line, that one's called The Boyfriend, where Jerry becomes friends with Keith Hernandez.
Right.
And the best line of that one is Kramer doesn't like how close Jerry and Keith Hernandez are. He goes, next thing you know, you're going to be driving him to the airport. And he goes, I'm not driving him to the airport. We're not that close.
Oh, jeez. Other than Keith Hernandez, there was a couple of other stars in that, or no? Just
in that episode?
No, just overall. And
well, there's a lot of people that were, Courtney Cox was in it before Frenzy started.
I mean, she's an actress. I just meant more like Keith Hernandez type. Because he says he gets asked about that. What about the Junior Mints one? Isn't that a famous one?
The Junior Mint is a good one, too. Yeah. And that one has some more inappropriate content I can't mention, but it's hysterical.
What is this? That is one magic loogie.
That's the one from The Boyfriend. That's because Roger McDowell, the old Mets pitcher, spit on Kramer and Newman.
Yes.
And they did the spoof of the Kennedy assassination when it came to the spitball.
And Glenn in Moncton, George eating a Snickers with a fork and knife.
Yes, George, because he didn't want to get his hands dirty. Him and Mr. Morgan, who worked with him at the Yankees, started eating their candy bars with a knife and fork.
No, I do like the double dip one. I remember that one with George saying boyfriend status.
Like I said, I watched most of them, so I know what you guys are talking about. But a lot of the stuff didn't work for me. But what do I know about cooking a shirt?
That's the one.
What is that one?
That's the calzone. Because
all right.
Kramer decides he only wants shirts that come out of the laundry piping hot, and he runs out of quarters. So he asked the cook at the calzone place to cook his shirt to make it warm, and he burns it all up. He goes, what the hell do I know about cooking a shirt?
By the way, Tristan Wilson said, the contest isn't on the list. I have lost all respect for Brady. So
The contest is good, but it's...
It's iconic for a lot of people.
It's iconic, yeah. It's just not as funny to me. It is iconic, and the subject matter is, you know, more... You know, hazy than Seinfeld used to go.
I don't know. I just remember seeing that and going, there it is. That's a funny show.
Brady made a mistake.
No, it was Roger McDowell.
There must
have been a second spitter.
Shane in Burlington just texted, Keith Hernandez is the spitter. Mistake of the day. I think he's right.
There must have been a second spitter.
Is there a second spitter?
And remember Roger McDowell for the Gravelly Road.
The two-part episode where Kramer goes to California's hand down, the best in my opinion. The scene is where Jerry and George are dancing, singing the murder struck against.
Yeah,
again.
The murder struck against. That's the one. See, I did not like that one. The two-parter where Kramer went to California, it's called The Keys. By the way, I'm doing all this from memory.
I know. I'm sitting here just amazed at what I'm seeing.
That is called The Keys. At least that's what part one is. It might be The Keys and then The Trip. Or no, it's just The Trip, part one, two, and three, but it centers on The Keys.
Jeter and Bernie Williams were in that.
And it was great because... That was the one, it was called The Abstinence. George stopped having sex and got really, really smart.
That's what Tristan wrote, yeah.
So George stopped having sex and got really, really smart, and he was giving batting tips to Jeter and Bernie at the batting cage, and they go, hey, we won the World Series. And he goes, yeah, in six games. Danny Tartable was in it.
Oh, Rich, you forgot one. Richard Middlebury, Sponge Worthy.
Yeah. Another questionable content for the show. But.
Wow.
It's impressive, I'll tell you.
I don't know this one.
It's like me with 70s music facts or something.
The Jimmy?
Yeah. The Jimmy, that was one where Kramer, he got dental work done, and he had all this Novocaine. And he couldn't talk, so they ended up, Mel Torme took him to a benefit for disabled people.
They took him
to a benefit for disabled people because he wasn't able to speak. And that is how, that is also where, George started referring to himself in the third person.
Oh,
so he's like, George likes spicy chicken.
And he just talked like that. There's so many that are coming in.
If you're not a watcher of that show, I can only imagine how scattered and crazy this segment sounds. This is great. Because, like I said, I watched it all, but...
How did you not watch that?
Shane in Burlington goes, best segment ever.
Yeah, and Chris DeMeffield loving this part of the show, boys. People love when we go
Well, good. Then tomorrow we'll talk about Gilligan's Island for 20 minutes.
Yeah, there you go. Is that going to be coming out with their top list of all time? All right, Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Yankees. We talked about it yesterday. We teased it yesterday. We talk about it today. Yankees quarter pole of the season, 40 games in. How are we feeling?
And still give your final predictions on what you think is going to happen in game number two on the Town Fair Tire text line. Maybe we'll give our final predictions also. All that coming up. You're in the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
The local slant on all things sports.
We know that everybody's going to be gunning for us.
It's The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
I remember now, coming up next, we'll have the mistake of the day. We'll give our final predictions on game two. By the way, Matt in Bickford.
Matt Bickford from Jeffersonville.
Oh, Bickford. I haven't been to that town yet.
I'm an avid Seinfeld fan. I am generally astonished at the accuracy in which Brady recalls specific details.
Yeah,
I spent a year writing a paper on Seinfeld in college. I wrote my honors thesis on Seinfeld.
It shows.
By the way, we've got more. Is anyone here a marine biologist in any other quote? any other quote here?
Like I said, that's great because the best part of that episode is at the very end when George pulls the golf ball out of the whale's blowhole and he shows it to Kramer and he goes, I reached in and pulled out the obstruction. And Kramer looks at him embarrassed. He goes, what is that, a Titleist?
I love it. All right, let's get to the Yankees. Because what did they have? Four guys with 10 or more home runs.
Yeah.
Which is the first time it's been done this quickly, Brady? What's going on?
First time it's been done this quickly. Yankees lead baseball in runs per game at 5.77. For all this talk about how nobody can hit, well, the Yankees could certainly hit and hit for power. And they really even haven't gotten fully going yet. When you look at Gary Sanchez is hitting, just 206 or something like that?
Yep.
So Sanchez is struggling. They haven't gotten much. They haven't gotten anything for the whole season out of Greg Bird, who's been hurt. So there's still room for this team to grow offensively.
Yeah, coming from a team that you guys also said didn't have a great pitching staff or
great
starting rotation, yeah. as well as the Red Sox too, and they're still like this.
Well, once again, CC Sabathia. I mean, this is a huge mystery to me. You just keep waiting for this to stop, and he has reinvented himself. I mean, he is Bartolo Colon.
Well, he doesn't try to throw it by you anymore. That's the thing.
But he's figured out how to do it. But they've had so many guys getting it done. Jordan Montgomery was pitching well until he got hurt. But, I mean, Tanaka hasn't been. It's funny because I look at this Yankee team, and you look at the lineup, you look at the pitching, and you go, how do they ever lose any games? And yet you look at their stats, and there's a lot of stuff that isn't great. They're only hitting .251 as a team. 3.66 ERA, which isn't too bad, but they've got some guys. Sonny Gray's been hideous. Tanaka's been fair. You've got a lot of guys in the offense not hitting at all, like Sanchez, and you know Stanton hasn't really hit either.
Sanchino.
Well, and Didi Gregorius has just disappeared for the last 3 weeks. So you look at that, and yet somehow they're figuring out a way to win every night.
You know what's crazy, too, is that Stanton is pretty much on his identical pace from last season when he won National League MVP. So we're talking about him not doing anything, and he's on pretty much his batting average is only like 6 points lower. His on-base percentage is the same. His slugging is like a point different, and his home runs are one different. So he's been playing well relative to what he did last season, which is what they got him in order to replicate.
And Severino, I mean, boom, instant star. That didn't take long. It took him a couple of years, but he has been exactly everything that they had hoped for, and if they can keep him healthy this year, he's not striking out as many guys as Chris Sale or anything like that, although he's on a pretty good pace. He's got 70 through 59, but there's the ace. I mean, who was the Yankees' ace, and he has emerged.
By the way, I don't have both schedules in front of me, but there are no way they're going to keep this up, or they're playing 700 baseball. So who in the next 40 games takes a step backwards, or do they both take it? Who takes a bigger step backwards, the Red Sox or the Yankees in the next 40 games? Before they get to the halfway point.
Well, Carson Smith now out. Thornburg's stinking up the joint in the minors right now. You worry about that Red Sox bullpen. I mean, is Heath Hembree going to go out there and be, I won't even say that word on the air, be not very good every night?
By the way, you don't tweet very often, but you're starting to do it more.
I was so mad at him the other night.
And they can find you at, Rich1013 ESPN?
I don't know.
You don't know what your Twitter account is?
I don't even know what it's about. I just push a bunch of buttons and... The problem is I'm finding myself tweeting when I'm angry. An angry tweeter.
You like called him a dumpster fire the other day.
He is a gas can heading out to the dumpster fire every time he goes to the mound. I thought that was well put. And then he proceeded to go out and blow a game where they had a 4-0 lead.
So it's at Rich1013 ESPN.
Okay, that seems easy.
First time texter, I think it's the fourth time four guys had 10 home runs that fast. That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, no, it's at RichHaskell1013. Sorry.
Okay.
Brady, that doesn't make any sense. I think it's the fourth time that four guys have had 10 home runs that fast. It can't be. There's a certain day on this, right? They all didn't have it on the.
Yeah,
on the
I'd have to check.
But I do remember the four guys that had over 30 home runs for a season, and that was the Dodgers, right? Yeah. Ron Say, Bill Russell.
Sox did it once too, back in the Butch Hobson days.
I met Ron Say once.
Oh, great guy, is he?
The biggest question mark for this team. Continues to be Dylan Betances for me. It's the biggest question overall is the starting rotation, but the bullpen, which was supposed to be so good, and it's been better of late, but Canely's been out and he was ineffective. Adam Warren's been out. And Betances, I mean, he's allowing 10% jump in the rate of hard hit balls against him. He's not still doesn't throw a ton of strikes. They've tried to use him for multiple innings, and he doesn't seem capable of doing that. This is a guy who's allowed 10 runs in 17 innings.
Why are they 28-12 again?
I know. I look at these numbers. It's like, where is it coming from? But you look at guys like Chad Green. I mean, talk about underrated. He's been in 18 games this year and has been unhittable at times. Domingo Germán comes out and gives him 6 hitless innings the other day. I mean, it's just coming from everywhere.
Town Fair Tire, text on if you want to get in, 802-655-6672. Tristan says, I want to go full Stu Gotts mode. LeBron will score between 20 and 70 points tonight, guaranteed. Is that what Stu Gotts does?
Stu Gotts likes to give wide-ranging predictions.
Oh,
but if you really want to do full Stu Gotts mode, you'd have to throw in, he goes like, LeBron, ding, 70 points, ding, collision course. That's his thing.
Oh, jeez. Unbelievable. He hooked himself up a good game, no doubt about that. All right, we want to come back. We want to get to the mistake of the day. We'll get to our predictions. We'll have to get that in. We want to read your predictions also. So last chance to get that in, 802-655-6672. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
By the way, Chris, the Mets fan, gave you a compliment, Rich.
What?
I've been listening to Rich for years, and believe me, he knows more than he lets on. He plays dumb better than anyone I know.
Wow.
So he just, what a compliment that is.
My secret is out.
Do you know more than you let on?
No.
Yes.
Do you know how to tweet?
Yes.
Okay.
I just don't know what my tweet address is.
Your tweet address.
Whatever it's called.
It's called a Twitter handle, so maybe you don't know more than you let on.
The Twitter handle.
I just tweeting, whatever, and I have been slow partners over the last year. It's been tricky. I get Facebook and all that stuff and texting, but
that you get.
Yeah.
Brian in Richmond is our qualifier for the mistake of the day. Oh. Something that you said about Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, great. Right after I get a compliment, now I get hammered for that. No, I said earlier in the show, I said I'd make the trade Kawhi Leonard and a pick for Kawhi Leonard.
I didn't pick up on that. By the way, mistake of the day brought to you by Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. Oh, and before we do our picks, I saw a story. It stuck me the last couple of days. I wanted to do Last Story Standing with it, but I haven't had a chance. There's a company in China, right? And the boss, if he feels like you don't do a good job, he lines up the employees that don't do a good job, and he gets to slap you. Can you see Brady lining us up? And go, you guys have not done a good job this
week. I didn't like what you said at 4:30.
Whack! Can you imagine? But it's only at the end of the week. It's only like once a week, and he slaps you pretty hard too.
A good slap also hurts the slapper's hand.
Yes, that could. But could you imagine just getting slapped because you didn't do a good job? I mean. He'll be quitting all over the place.
Would you rather get slapped for not doing a good job or get fired?
Slapped.
Okay. Yeah, well, then there you go.
I'll go with slap.
Yeah, I'll go. And then you kind of turn your head. You know,
sure.
Kinda, yeah. So, yeah.
That's a little red mark among friends.
Nothing. It's not that bad. Let's get to predictions. You know, I said it was going to be with under 10. Maybe it is going to be a little bit close. You know, after the first game was such a blowout. I still think the Celtics are going to win. I think the Cavaliers are going to take a last-second shot, a three-pointer that's going to miss, and I'm going to go with the Celtics winning game two, 106-103.
Wow, he's giving us numbers.
That means the Celtics win game two, go up two games to nothing.
At some point I have to take Cleveland. I took the Cavs in six, so I got to stick with it. I guess I'll take the Cavs. You want exact numbers?
Yeah, give me an exact score. Take a guess. Give me a score.
I think it'll be higher than that. It's going to be run and gun. I'll say 114-108.
Oh, not that high at all.
I'm going lower than that. I think the Celtics win by 6, 98-92.
Wow, that's low scoring, but kind of like last game.
And as soon as the Celtics win, I'll finally give up on this anti-Celtics bandwagon and start just predicting them for the rest of the trip.
Brady, what's coming up on Champlain Valley game night?
Well, we'll talk about my true feelings on Robinson Cano, and we'll get into some Patriots notes as well.
All right, we move on. For Brady, for Rich, I'm Arnie. Champlain Valley game night coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.